Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week. So we ride the wave of that vibration, of that lovely chant, into the sound of the bell that calls our attention to stop and to return to the breath. You know, spiritual practice at its finest is its simplest. And if we can just consciously learn to breathe, we ultimately realize that we're not doing the work, that the breath is really breathing us. And then we get to rest. It's inhalation and exhalation. As the breath of life, finding a willing and grateful participant in this shared journey to nowhere, to now here. And we smile because we have arrived. We are home in that sacred space of belonging to the universe, the one song, the one life, God's life, and that life is our life. So we rest in that expanded felt awareness of truth. It's truth that unhides itself from within and asks that we participate in every breath, in every sacred moment. We meet the blessedness of life on life's terms. Sometimes life gives us a challenge, and we smile to that challenge because ultimately it brings us to a place of self-love, a place of total acceptance, and ultimately a deep place of gratitude. This too is good, and this too is for me. So I demand to see the blessing. And in that grateful acceptance of the gift that life is bestowing on us with every moment, we then enter into the flow of now so that we might journey in harmony and ease, not as the doer, but as the one who is being fully alive, being done by the universe. And as Tom Jones said, it is better to be done than to be undone. And we smile and we let it go. And we return to this space with a sense of curiosity and wonder. Is that what we're here to do in life? Is to let go, to empty the cup, as someone said, to empty the cup of me. And when the cup is empty, well, then who are you?
Well, I guess I'm an empty cup, Miss Barbara. Well, then, what are you going to fill it with?
Might I suggest you don't fill it with anything? You learn what it's like to be empty. Empty of opinion, empty of judgment, empty of thought, empty of doctrine and dogma. The Science of Mind magazine came this week, came yesterday in the mail, and the first article is a declaration. A minister must speak their authentic truth. And I thought, well, this is an interesting article for me to read. And it's written by a transgender minister. I didn't know we had one in our movement. And so she says she's a transgender, and I'm also a Republican. So she says, this will probably shock most of you. She said, I was a lifelong Republican my whole life until my party abandoned me because I'm in the LGBTQ community. So then for like 10 pages, she goes on to defend who she is And she said, and I'm doing this not to shock and piss off everybody, excuse my French, but to build a bridge and a dialogue so that we might come to the table and learn that everyone is welcome here at the table. In our new class that we'll be teaching a week from Wednesday, it's Richard Rohr's new book, and it says, Everything Belongs. It's not about only let the stuff that's happy. Have you figured it out? We're not here to be happy. That's not why we're here. We're here to transform in this lifetime, out of the local self into the one life. Now that's a big onus. You mean we're here to die to me and to be born into we and ultimately realize that we're the all of life? Yep, that's right. There is no separate self. That's the ultimate truth. And so many of us get trapped in dualism, me and you, mine and yours, right and wrong. And when we let go of duplicitous thinking, my prayer partner, he's in Canada, and he came out of a Mormon tradition, and he said, he's going to be 76 in a week. And he says, you know, I'm trying to build bridges with my family, as dysfunctional as it is. And on the Mormon side of the family, they condemned him because he's a gay man. And so even to this day, he wrote a letter, and he says, you know, when you reject me from the family reunions, I feel that I'm not loved, that I'm not seen. And so to this day now, he's invited to the family reunions, but it's the don't ask, don't tell. We don't talk about it. And he still says, I still don't know how to explain you to my children. He says, do I look like something that needs to be explained to children? He says, trust me. So could we have the courage to authentically speak? This Sunday, he told me, we talk every Sunday. He's up in Canada, and he's retired. And the minister in the church up there in White Rock, she called him this morning, and she says, I'm sick. She said, what is a new minister supposed to do when they're sick? And he says, suit up and go to work. That's what you do when you're a minister. You don't have the luxury of calling in sick Mary and saying, I just can't make it because I have a tummy ache. I had a tummy ache this morning, but you see, I'm right here. And then she says, but it's COVID, and I don't want to infect anybody. So then he said, okay, well, I'll go in and fill in for you. And so we spoke this morning about him going in and about he was told what not to say and what to say. And he says, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that you can tell what to say and what not to say. So I said, you got to promise me that you're going to be outrageously authentic. And if you upset them, so be it. I told him Maureen Hoyt's favorite seven words that will change your life. When the horse is dead, get off. And then find a more lively horse to get on. He shared with me, they just had the biggest Silomar conference out there in California, and my friend Carol Carnes was there, and she said what's the primary discussion at this Silomar conference for religious scientists, are we still relevant in this world today? And the trap with it is that we're not attracting the young people. It's a bunch of old people who are speaking a language. It's like a self-help community. And my prayer partner said, we need to get back to the roots of new thought, where we're having direct experiences. You know, religion and the peak experience. The trouble is most religions haven't had a peak experience. So until you can have a peak experience where this presence is moving through you, you're just talking about God instead of allowing yourself to drown into the God of your being. So this month I'm talking about what is our walk in the world. In the first month, since you haven't been here in a while, the first month I talked about living in meaning, in truth, and in kindness. Now when you live in meaning, you're living in your soul. The soul wants to find meaning in life, whereas the ego, the personality, wants success, achievement, validation, you name it, all the trappings of the world's approval. But the soul, though, they want to find meaning in the smallest of things. So could we open to the meaning of life? Sylvia went out into her garden and a rose presented itself, and so she took communion with the rose. I'm the same way. I plant so many seeds, and I have no clue what's going to show up in the garden. And this morning, the hummingbird vine was blooming with all these red flowers for the very first time. And who do you think was drinking from the nectar of that little red flower? Miss Hummingbird drinking and looking at me and drinking and looking at me. Could I have one of those moments where we're not separate? Yes, I see you. I celebrate you. And you are one of my relations. And then we get a bigger palette upon which to play in life. So to find meaning and to find truth. Now, truth comes from the Greek word, which is that which unhides itself. So there's a little truth, which is the relative truth, and then there's the absolute truth with the big T. Could we surrender to find this big truth, that there's one life unveiling itself endlessly anew, and we are that life? So it requires, by this very nature of our survival in this universe, that we evolve. It's either evolve or die. And I read this wonderful book from an Oxford professor over in England. It's called The Story of Gaia. It said, our planet is waking up, and the sentience of our planet, we're not the most evolved species on planet Earth. There's a lot of intelligence out there. Could we defer to that? Go sit at the foot, go see the octopus teacher if you don't think there's intelligence. My God, they can change colors. They're the most fascinating. Someone said that they came from outer space, that they think that they might be extraterrestrials. Well, I kind of like that idea. So, yeah, last Sunday I spoke, and then I talked about kindness. His Holiness the Dalai Lama said, my religion is kindness. And I asked Bob and Kelly to play Karen Drecker's song, May I Be Filled with Loving Kindness, May I Be Well. It has to start with self, and then it goes to seeming other, and then it goes to everything. Could I be kind to even the bugs that are on the floor and say that they have a life too, and that we're all connected in this beautiful tapestry called the one life? So that was the first week. Last week we talked about living in a wholehearted way. We connected the heart. The heart knows oneness, whereas the head might want to sit there and have opinions and judgments, but the heart can have this sense that we are all in the one heart, the one life. And at the end of this service, I've asked them to do a song called I Am So Blessed by Karen Drucker. And this song came at a Silomar conference when I saw a man who was working in South America with prisoners in a prison. And he wanted to give them a prayer that they could take into their body. So in our spiritual mind teaching, we teach a thing called spiritual mind treatment. And the first step of treatment is to recognize that there is one power. The second step is to unite with that recognition. The third step is to expand that field of awareness, having united with it, with a realization step. Then there is this gratitude step, and then there's a release step. Now, you can throw in a denial step, but I found that the denial is oftentimes irrelevant because we're oftentimes denying the very thing that is really needed to be embraced. So I've kind of eradicated denial. The only denial I might use is I let go of all resistance to this greater expandedness because I am now ready to hear at a deeper level. Well, then I guess I don't need to resist anything, do I, Tia? Even the person that really irritates me gets to be held in my heart. So he created this movement where you bring down the recognition that all there is God, then you unite with it. So it's right over the heart chakra. You create a container in you, which is the realization step. You give thanks to the universe, and then you bring all that good in. You give thanks, and then you give it back in the release step because you are the gift. You are the treatment. You are the expression of the one life moving out there in the world, interspiriting with your own self. And then I promise you, you will encounter the right and perfect bunny rabbit on the path of life. It always works out that way. So, so that was last week. And this week I'm going to explore what is ours to reveal? What is ours to express in the world? What is the next step for each of you? In the Gospel of Thomas, the one that is so controversial in the Christian churches, it's by Jesus. And all it is are the sayings of the teacher. There's none of the history that's been made up around his virgin birth or the crucifixion. No, it's just these are the sayings of Jesus. And one of the sayings was, in all your seeking, seek until you find. And when you find, you'll be greatly disturbed. And when you are greatly disturbed, you'll be filled with awe. And when you are filled with awe, you will have dominion over your world. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Now he's saying it's time to start finding out who you are. If you just keep seeking and seeking, you're going to be identified as the seeker. Could you be the one that's discovering divine love? Well, I think I can. If you don't know what divine love, go look at the pug right in that little buggy over there. That's divine love. Not a lot of thought, just kind of a stinky little pug expressing divine love. Seek until you find, and when you find, you'll be greatly disturbed. You're disturbed because, oh my God, I had the capacity to change my life just by changing how I saw the world. It's not so much you see in the world, it's what you're looking through that determines what you see. So if you're looking through the eyes of oneness, you're going to see yourself everywhere revealed. And that's what you discovered. And then Jesus, later in the Gospel of Thomas, said, if you liberate that which is within you, he said, that which is within you will save you. If you do not liberate that which is within you will destroy you. Whoa, that's kind of harsh, don't you think? He's saying there is something within us that needs to be revealed. So what would that be? I would venture to say it's divine love. I would venture to say it's a peace that passes all understanding. I would venture to say it's the creative impulse of life that wants to express whatever the world thinks. As I was working on these ideas yesterday, Turner Classic Movie had a retrospective of Fred Astaire, starting with his movies, and I found myself riveted to watching the evolution of this man as he went from 1935 and all the way into 1957, and I watched how he evolved and grew. Hey, Thomas, bring the family in. It's nice to see you. Welcome to the center. Y'all come on down. And so there was Fred Astaire doing his dance thing, and I'm sitting there drinking it all in. And on my birthday this year, one of my dear friends, Wanda Gale, gave me the book called The Master Teacher Within by James Twyman. And this is her teacher. And he talks about finding that something within ourselves. And then could we bring that something, that sacred something, our true nature, into the world? And here's how James Twyman talked about it so mystically in this lovely book. He said, let the current take you to realize the state of perfect non-beingness. That means that you, the local self, isn't the being. It's this big something that's the beingness. It's simply to relax and be present to the presence of the I am. Well, we're courting the presence of the I am, the one that knows no other. When Moses asked God, what shall I call you? He said, I am that I am. So what if the I am is what we all are? And when we court the presence, well, then it's always there. It's always already there waiting for us. And if you can't find it, you check it out with the pug. It's always already there. So he says, let this current take you, the sense of connectedness, and then empty yourself of everything that's longing and desiring just to be one with this infinite ocean of grace, because it's all grace. Grace is the unmerited givingness of the universe to its creation. So could we just surrender all of our efforts and fall into the grace of now? When Thomas and I would talk, when he would call me, those were grace-filled moments. And he would share those moments with me. He says, think of nothing but this, and then you'll dissolve, and you'll know that the river and the ocean are one. Now, he uses the metaphor of the ocean and the river. Rumi says, all swimming in the ocean of love ends in drowning. Rumi says, oh, drop, give it up. The ocean for a drop? Oh, to be wooed by the ocean. So he's pointing, you're part of the bigger something, and you're identifying with a little stream called Bob Yeomans. You don't exist. But what does exist is the ocean of love. And then the stream of Kelly meets the stream of Bob, and they potentiate the divine love. It's the bigger something. Divine love brought Pam Hurdy into my life with her two little kids waddling into the church when they were in diapers close. So he goes on to say, it's a state of grace that arises naturally when you let go of the need to control your experience. Anybody got a control addiction out there? Oh, thank you. The need to control your experience and simply allow yourself to be present to the present moment. Does this sound like David Leonard? All he talks about is living in the present moment, and he's saying the same damn thing. Maybe there's something to it. One of the key components to this journey is to develop a deep sense of trust in the process of life, Miss Tia. Trust in the process of life. It's going to give you these challenges so you can love that little girl, not so you can punish her. Do you hear me speaking? Is your older brother? Okay. So we're recognizing a pattern, she and I. One of the key components of this journey is to develop a deep sense of trust in the process of life, to trust that you're being guided and supported every step of the way, and that everything that's happening in your life is happening for the highest good. It's all happening for the highest good. This is kind of a confirmation, because this is what I've been saying to y'all forever. And he's saying, you know, you're right, David. Just be in the present moment and know it's here for the highest good. He goes on to say, I read this little section to my evangelical sister and she liked it. She didn't like the other stuff. So I thought, well, if the evangelical likes it, maybe y'all will like it too. Another important aspect of the journey toward perfect non-beingness is to develop a sense of detachment from the outcomes of all your actions. Instead of being attached to a specific outcome, simply do what you feel called to do in every moment and trust that everything will work out as it should. You don't have to have the boxes from heaven this year, Miss Pam. I keep looking for those aubergines and I ain't seeing them over there. She had the prettiest eggplants in her box, and now she had some dead tomatoes, but some big old sunflowers. Hey, they're beautiful. I was checking on them this morning. So he says this, these obstacles are simply opportunities for our growth. And learning, for our growth and learning, and they can be embraced with a sense of curiosity and wonder. Life is giving us growth experiences. In that first chapter of the Richard Rohr book, Everything Belongs, he talks about, the first chapter is called The Core and the circumference. And he said, everybody wants to live from their core, but the irony is we live at the circumference of life. We live at that growing edge, the boundaries, what Parker Palmer would call that growing edge. And he says, you can't find the core out there. He says, the core finds you when it needs to find you. When I fell off that step and I was in radical pain, the core came in the form of Pam Hurdy knocking at my door, who said to me, radical pain requires radical rest, and I was doing anything but rest. I was trying to work through the pain, trying to eradicate the pain, instead of meeting the pain with love and compassion, what he was saying to do. So these obstacles are simply opportunities for compassion to flower within you, so that you might learn how to embrace your physical body, your mental and your emotional body. At 73, you'd think I'd learn this a little quicker, wouldn't you, Thomas? So he says this, in addition to cultivating a sense of trust and detachment, it's also important at this stage of life to cultivate a sense of gratitude and appreciation for all of life, Ms. Tia, for all of life, especially when it shows you those juicy little patterns that you've been subject to for 60 plus years, and now you see that pattern. Holy cow. That was a wake-up call for all of us. Thank you for sharing that. So when you're able to see the beauty and the wonder in even the most mundane aspect of your life, you open yourself to a deeper sense of connection with the universe and with all beings. With all beings. And when you can heal the stuff of your life, well, then you offer that consciousness to the world. You know, I've worked on myself so that I've learned to trust that I can go through these hurdles, and I can maybe be a space for you when you go through those hurdles, because we're in this together, Mr. Raul, you and me. Miss Gigi, we're in this together. Miss Pam, we're in this together. And when I fall down, you reach to pick me up. And when you fall down, I'll reach to pick you up. And isn't that nice to know that that's how it works? It's all connected in this one life. So thank you, James Twyman. The master's within, and we get to trust it and know that it will assist us in assuming the consciousness that's required as we journey into life. We finished our last class in the Tara Brach book, Trusting in the Gold, and she's very transparent about, we trust in this inherent something within us, it's a divinity within us, but yet we embrace all those growing parts of our life where we're challenged. And one of the teachers that I love, he's from India, his name is Muji, and I was going to teach this book, but I think it's way too complicated for most people, so rather than teach it, I'll just let it teach me, and then I'll just give you little tastes of Muji. Look at that beautiful saintly man. He lives from the presence. So here's what Muji says. He says, you are life itself. Well, that's kind of a big picture, Ms. Paula. Let your attitude be one that helps you recognize this. You have the inner power to discern that a presence is arising within you that is not the mind. So much of what we do is to try to transcend the mind, because the mind gets caught up in me statements. The ego kind of is the dictator in the mind. So when you can go beyond the mind that's always analyzing and thinking, you get to discover the knower, which abides in the silence within. In that place that Sylvia found in the pink rose in her garden, that place that Seamus goes to when he meets his journal. Oftentimes he has to vomit out the stuff in his mind, but once he's emptied the cup, whoa, then something arises. And there's a discovery of energy patterns, and you realize all life is energy, all life is transmission. Could I be in that flow of transmission and receive from this guidance system within, from the heaven within myself? Beloved Mark Accomando does sound baths in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, and Hurricane Hillary is heading right for Palm Springs. I talked to him last night, and he said he's got all his sandbags ready in case they're flooded. Isn't this weather on the planet incredible? I think it's telling us that we need to take responsibility for global warming. Look at the consequences of global warming. So, back to Muji. The divine is giving you a kiss from within. Oh, isn't that a lovely metaphor? To know that the divine is kissing you from within. I'll play with that a little longer. He said, that kiss will set your heart on fire. The kiss of divine love will set your heart on fire. You know, there's a dancer in me that really likes that. So rather, this is a fire that one steps into, that one does not run away from. It's the fire of transformation. It's the fire of divine love. Rumi says, love is a fire and I am wood. And he says, my life can be boiled down to three words. I burned and I burned and I burned till all that left of me was ash, and all that remained was the fire of the beloved. So Rumi, Muji's saying the same thing. This is a fire you step into. This fire will not burn you. It will burn only what you are not. In the old center, when we were on Ellen and Drive, every Wednesday night I would do Dance with the Beloved. Pam would come religiously. And we would dance. We would sweat our prayers. We would find that place within us that wanted to express. I am encouraging you to take this step and dive into the divine fire, because you are already the fire of love. Well, he's asking you to die in the fire of love. Now, in the Sufi tradition, they have three stages. The first stage is called Tauba. That's when the heart turns toward the beloved. It turns toward that something bigger. The second phase is called Fana. That's where the you that's separate dissolves. It's called annihilation step. And then the third stage is called Baka, where you're abiding in the presence. So he's inviting you to step into the fire of transformation. And this is a transformational teaching. It's not a self-help, how to create a better illusion of you. No, this is where you get to drown and resurrect as the one life, the Christ. So going back to Muji, you can't create the self with a big S, because guess what? You are already the self. He's taking you into the ocean. He says, know that you were not born to remain stuck in your self-portrait of me, but rather to awaken to your original beingness as the one flowering in clarity. And it doesn't think at all, Miss Mary. It just knows. And I see the knower shining right through you. So he says, this is bliss shining through you. And then you hear that phrase, Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means truth or consciousness. Chit means beingness. And Ananda means bliss. So it's truth. Being bliss is our true nature. That's what's shining through, according to Muji. Bliss then speaks through you. It is just you as you are, not you as your dreams would be or your fascinations would try to create. No, just that, the one, the I am. That is who you are, and that is we are here to find out, and that is what we are here to express. So having said Muji's little thing, Nancy, for her final project for class, she brought a poem of Rumi's that spoke to her heart, and Rumi says this very same thing. So with the preface of Muji telling us to step into the fire of love, well, then you hear the beloved calling Rumi to do the exact same thing, and here's the consequence. So why don't you close your eyes and know that this is the beloved speaking to you. I have come to drag you out of yourself and take you into my heart. I have come to bring out the beauty that you never knew you had and lift you like a prayer into the sky. If no one recognizes you, I do, because you are my own life and my own soul. So don't run away. Accept your wounds and let bravery be your shield. It takes 1,000 stages for the perfect being to evolve. It takes 1,000 stages for the perfect being to evolve. And every step of the way, I will walk with you and never leave you stranded. Every step of the way, wheresoe'er thou art, I am with you always. So be patient. Do not open the lid too soon, but rather simmer away until you are ready. Rumi uses the metaphor of the chickpea in the pot and the cook as the beloved with the spoon, saying to the chickpea, get back in that pot. You're not fully cooked yet. And when you are fully cooked, well, then there won't be any more you. There will just be that. So he says, be patient. Do not open the lid too soon, but rather simmer away until you are ready. And in this game, guess what? I make the rules. I roll you like a ball, and I chase you when I choose. The beloved's in charge. It'll happen when it's ready to happen, and you can't make it happen any sooner. And then you hear Rumi that says, all your efforts won't get you to the first way station. But if you surrender and trust and allow, you're already there. So thank you, Nancy, for igniting the fire in this Sufi who needs to always remember who he is and who we all are. It says in the Bible, whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, think on these things. So right there, right from the Holy Scriptures, they're telling us what to bring forth. Things that are of good report, things that are lovely. Think on those things and let them flower in your field of awareness and then offer them to the world. Could we bring this, our better angels to the world? Could we bring a truth based on compassion and forgiveness and acceptance, a total acceptance of life on life's terms? Well, then life begins to bless us in ways that we thought that would never have happened in my life. Mark Nepo is a man that had cancer twice, and his dive of cancer transformed him and gave a message that to me is probably one of the most beautiful messages of acceptance and love. And in this book, he has a prayer for our planet Earth that I'm going to close with, and then we'll do this song with the choreography, and we'll do a little passing of the plate, and we have a board meeting today after church, for those of you who are here. And so this is the prayer that he closes this book with. My evangelical sister didn't like it, so that's why I'm going to read it to you. It was too big. It must have upset her. Oh, endless creator, force of life. This is the recognition step. Seat of the unconscious. Dharma. Atman. Ra. Galb. Dear center of divine love. Mother of the universe. Christ light. Yahweh. Allah. Mawa. Pick your name. It's just the name of the one life. He says, let us, when swimming with the streams, let us become the stream. And let us, when moving with the music, become the music. You should have seen Fred Astaire. The music was dancing him. Let us, when rocking the wounded, become their suffering. When we hold someone in our arms that's suffering, could we take that suffering into our heart and literally transmute it? Let us live deeply enough till there is only one direction. And let us live slowly enough till there is only a beginning, the beginning of now. And let us live loud enough in our hearts till there is no need for us to speak. Could we live loud enough in our hearts that what you are speaks so loudly, I don't have to tell you that I love you, Bob. You can feel it. Let us live for the grace beneath all that we want. Let us see it in everything and in everyone. You know, when Tom would call me from the prison, those were some of my favorite times because we were meeting in the moment. They were transformational for me, and I know they were for him too. Let us see it in everything, everyone, until we admit to the mystery that when I look deeply enough into you, I find myself. Pretty Paula came back. I hadn't seen her in years, and I just fell right into that little face. When I look deeply enough into you, I find me. And when you dare to hear my fear in the recess of your heart, you recognize it as your secret, which you thought no one ever knew. That we get to share the same concerns in life. We're not separate. And his last little phase is, oh, let us embrace that unexpected moment of unity. As the atom of God lets us have the courage to hold each other when we break and worship then what unfolds. The courage to hold each other when we break and then the courage to hold what unfolds. His last little phrase, oh, nameless spirit. That is not done with us yet. Let us love without a net. Beyond the fear of death. Till the speck of peace that we guard so deeply becomes the world's. O nameless spirit that is not done with us yet. Let us love without a net. Beyond the fear of death. Because there really is no death. Until that speck of peace that we guard so well in ourselves becomes the gift to the world. So we give the peace within to the world. It's not ours to cling to anymore. It's ours to share. And with that, I'm going to do the I Am So Blessed song, and then we'll do a little closing meditation. And so this is, I'm going to invite you to stand. Now, this is going to place the prayer in your body. And as Karen Drucker sings this song with their help, I'm going to guide you. And I'll be reminding you, this is the recognition. You bring the presence down. You join with the left hand. You're creating a container in your heart. This is the choreography. You make a pancake, one on top of the other. And then you expand the container It's your heart space. Then you open to the universe, reaching up and out, lifting your heart to the universe, really take it in. Then you bring all the good from the universe into your heart. With a grateful heart, you bow to the present moment. And knowing that this love is not yours to own, but to share, then you press it out and you give it back to the world. That's giving back the love. So when you're ready, Karen and Kelly. And then we'll do a meditation, and Raul will go to the bowl, to the bell. That was so much fun. Thank you for indulging me.
Oh, do you want to come and give me a hug? Is that why you're coming up here? Careful, there's a wire there. Oh, that's so smart. She went under the wire. Let me give you a hug.
Oh, that's a precious hug. Oh, thank you for that.
That was so nice. You want to say hi to my penguin?
Do this final thing. Okay, Raul, if you'll ring the bell, please. this little angel? And could we know that there is a loving presence that is always holding us, so we find that deep connection to divine love? Dr. Ernest Holmes says, divine love brings together and maintains together in harmony and balance those who belong together. So we open to the consequence of that realization. Divine love brought us together here. And it is maintaining this community in harmony and balance because we belong to this greater something that is holding us. It's not about us anymore. We have found the master within. You could call it the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about. And he said, seek it first, and that everything will be added unto you. And so we touch that heavenly place this Sunday morning, and we claim that we are blessed, that we are grateful to know this divine presence is always, already there, lying stretched in smiling repose. And we witness you. We see you everywhere. We feel you in the moments, the sacred moments of every day. We see your beauty around us. We feel the beauty flowering within us. And we share that peace with the world that so desperately needs it. We share our joy and our enthusiasm to be filled with God, with the whole world. What a privilege it is to serve the One. So we take a deep integrating breath. And if you are comfortable, place your hand over your heart chakra. And let's say the heart salutation together. I honor you.
I love you.
I respect you.
You
are the emerging light of the One Life.
Shining in the darkness.
Illuminating the contracted places.
Liberating the soul to dance.
And liberating the heart to feel connected to everything.
Beloved,
this life belongs to you.
Do with it as you will.
And we will serve you in every way.
Joyously,
playfully,
and
creatively.
Because you're in charge.
And just like Ginger followed Fred, we will follow you.
So it is. In the great dance floor of life. Yes, and you always get the right partner. Always.
So thank you for playing with me today.
For listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.